Hear the word of the Lord from Psalm 88. A song, a psalm of the sons of Korah, to the choir master, according to Mahalat Anot, a maskil of Heman the Ezrahite. O Lord, God of my salvation, I cry out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to Sheol. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am a man who has no strength, like one set loose among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, like those whom you remember no more, for they are cut off from your hand. You have put me in the depths of the pit, in the regions dark and deep. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you overwhelm me with all your waves. Selah. You have caused my companions to shun me. You have made me a horror to them. I am shut in so that I cannot escape. My eye grows dim through sorrow. Every day I call upon you, O Lord. I spread out my hands to you. Do you work wonders for the dead? Do the departed rise up to praise you? Selah. Is your steadfast love declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in Abaddon? Are your wonders known in the darkness, or your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But I, O Lord, cry to you. In the morning my prayer comes before you. O Lord, why do you cast my soul away? Why do you hide your face from me? Afflicted and close to death from my youth up, I suffer your terrors. I am helpless. Your wrath has swept over me. Your dreadful assaults destroy me. They surround me like a flood all day long. They close in on me together. You have caused my beloved and my friend to shun me. My companions have become darkness. You may take a seat if you'd like. While my remaining musician friends are finding their seat, I'd like to wish everyone a good morning, at least as good a morning as we can be wished after reading such a dark and depressing text. It has really been a blessing to continue gathering with everybody, the Lord's people, for 10 straight weeks after being confined to our living room with nothing but our cats and pancakes for company. And it is just so nice to be able to sit together and hear the word of the Lord being taught. And so I also want to thank our elders, Joshua and Kyle, for giving me the opportunity to preach this week. And so I ask of you that you would join me now in prayer that the preaching that we hear today would be a blessing to us and to the Lord. So would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us this text. Lord, for your work in the life of Heman the Ezrahite. Lord, that you sustained him, though all he could do was hold on to his knowledge of you as the God of his salvation. We thank you that you hear our prayers, even when they use strong language. And in fact, you encourage us to come with you with what is already on our hearts, just exactly as it is. We don't have to hide behind pious language. We don't have to fake righteousness or having it all together. You invite us to come just with our sorrows and with the messes that we bring, whether they're messes of our own creation or messes that are just the result of living in a fallen world. So Father, we pray that you would bless your word as it is taught this morning, or that as we sit under it, as we learn from Haman the Ezrahite, it would draw us closer to you and strengthen us to continue carrying out the mission that you have set us on to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in every end of the earth. So Father, we love you and we ask these things in the name of our Lord, the man of sorrows, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So while I was reading our text for today's sermon, perhaps you picked up on something. This Haman the Ezrahite guy, and if you want to actually read more about him in 1 Kings 4 and 1 Chronicles 25, you're welcome to do that. This guy has some serious problems. His problems are so serious, in fact, that his lament breaks a well-known rule of the Psalms. Everybody knows that a psalm of lament has to end in praise. That's just the rule, right? But Haman does not do that. He has written us a one-note song that never quite resolves. It begins with only the slightest whiff of hope, but by the time the song ends, even that hope seems to have been completely snuffed out, and we are left with the last word, darkness. And so this fact may lead you to a couple questions. Does Tyler also have serious problems? Why on earth did Tyler choose this text of all texts in the Bible? And in response to your first question, I will simply plead no contest, and I will allow you to come to your own conclusion as we work through this psalm. If I have serious problems, that's fine. If I don't have serious problems, that is fine too. In response to the second question, I really have to admit that this week it seems to have been a case of the text choosing itself. I didn't really want to do all of the work to figure out how on earth to teach Psalm 88. But I have been wrestling with this psalm for weeks on end, and I've been simply unable to escape its grasp. The waters of this psalm run deep, and the psalms in and of themselves are already complex enough, so I'm just going to admit right off the bat that today I am preaching more in hopes of doing this text justice rather than in confidence that I've hit the nail on the head, and so this sermon is going to be a home run if you're comfortable with me mixing carpentry and baseball metaphors. Either way, we're going to forge on, and we're going to look at this text in four sections. In case you're taking notes, I have given a lot of structure to this sermon, so go ahead and get your pens out if you're so inclined. First, we are going to look at Haman's problems. Second, we are going to try to answer the question, what do we do with the Psalms? Then we will look at Haman's hope. And finally, we will ask, what do we do now? So we've got Haman's hope, a question, or Haman's problems, a question, Haman's hope, and then another question. So our first section, first let's look at Haman's problems. And by my count, Haman has three major problems. First, he feels as if he might as well be dead. Second, he is utterly alone in his living death. And third, and this is probably the most serious problem of all, it is all God's fault. So we will look at each of these problems in turn and hear the word that Haman has given us. Problem one, Haman feels as if he might as well be dead. And really, there are so many details in this text that point to this fact that we really only have time to glance at them.